Hi, I'm Darcy.
And I'm Judy.
And we are Women of Watermark.
We welcome you to take this journey with us. We have over 40 years of communication and marketing experience that we're looking forward to sharing with you today. We're going to share with you our guests, people that we've done business with, people that are experts in the industry, and really just have a lot of fun talking about marketing, communications, business strategies, and solving the problems that you might be having in your business. So welcome for the journey. We look forward to engaging with you. We are welcoming today Miss Lori Stone, who is a city councilwoman at Murrieta, and we are and a long time friend. We're not going to tell you how many years, because that would mean we'd have to have been friends since before we were born. So, Lori, welcome to the Women of Watermark podcast. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, first, I want to say thank you so much for having me. As you stated, I am a city council member for the city of Murrieta, and I was voted in 2020. So the last year and a half has been a whirlwind experience. Even though I have been part of the political arena for many, many years, there really is a, on this side of the aisle, it's a huge learning curve about development, about infrastructure. And so while it's been very, very rewarding, it's kind of like going to college.
a big learning experience.
Yes. It has been wonderful to serve the community.
So I'm going to stop you for just, Lori, I was going to stop you for just a moment. So some of our listeners aren't local here to Southwest Riverside County.
That is true.
I just want to let everybody know that's where Murrieta, California is located. It's in Southwest Riverside, California. I didn't want to interrupt, but it's one of the fastest growing counties in the country. So some of the things that Lori's going to talk about that might give you a little background.
Absolutely. And I'm actually going to take you back a little bit and talk about what did you do prior to running for office? Because we want to give a little background history here.
So I owned a chain of beauty supply salons. And hairdressers and manicurists are far more than doing your nails and doing your hair. We actually are psychologists, believe it or not.
I believe that.
The clientele really pours their heart out to their nail technician or their hairdresser. And I've heard stories from sexual assault, domestic violence, infidelity, illnesses. You know, one of the things about illnesses is, you know, the lack of resources. And so my brother, who was a sitting city councilman for the city of Temecula, wanted to run for county supervisor. And as I walked precincts for him, I heard the exact same conversations in my salon out in the community. And, you know, I lived in a bubble. I worked a lot, long hours, 7 days a week. And I wasn't privy to anything that was outside of my little bubble. And I told my brother that, you know, I would love to work with you with regards to women's issues if you were to win. And would you consider it? And he said, yes. So during that time, I sold off my chain of beauty supplies. I went to work for him as his women's advocate throughout Riverside County. So I took that experience and I traveled all through Riverside County. And then from there, our former district attorney and our former sheriff loved what I was doing for my brother. And I was appointed to the SAFE team as their spokesperson, Sexual Assault Felony Enforcement Task Force. So I educated the residents of Riverside County about keeping their children safe from registered sex offenders. So being I was a women's issues advocate, domestic violence, sexual assault, but more importantly, one of the topics that I really took under my wing was homelessness. And back in 2009, when we experienced the most horrific recession, families like your family and my family became homeless because of loss of jobs, the economy.
Losing their homes.
Absolutely. And so our food pantries were empty. The shelves were absolutely empty. So I took that and I educated. I went undercover as a homeless person, and you can Google
Lori Stone
homeless.
Yeah, I remember that.
Mm-hmm. And to show the perception during that time, it's not the typical stereotype man or woman with mental illness or drug or alcohol. Again, it was families like yours and mine. And because of those efforts, Professional Women's Roundtable took on the task of doing a peanut butter drive annually for our food pantries. And so my outreach, just that one particular topic, in 10 years, they have donated more than 10,000 jars to our local pantries.
It is amazing how when you have an idea like that and you can really get people focused, the community, this community, I think in particular, is very, very generous. And when they have a focus and they have a purpose and they have someone like you that has passion about something, you can really get them motivated to do amazing things.
But I want to give you credit because it's a jar of peanut butter.
Right.
And for some people, that's all they can give is one jar of peanut butter. But they can participate in that. You weren't asking for $10,000. You weren't asking for a truckload of peanut butter. You asked everybody to give one jar of peanut butter, which made that accessible to everybody to participate and empowering that everybody could participate. So brilliant, Lori. That was absolutely brilliant.
Absolutely. And as Judy, as you stated, as a fellow Rotarian, you know what it's like to serve.
Yeah.
And it's beneficial to all concerned is one of the four-way tests. And I use that a lot, even from the dais. A lot of my practice that I do was from being a Rotarian and service above self.
It's a good foundation.
It is such a great foundation, and you are absolutely right. Our community, Marietta and Temecula, I've never seen a community ever come together when there's a cause or a need. We definitely step up to the plate, and that's what I love about living in the Southwest Riverside region, is because we do all come together. And I took that experience, and in politics, everything's about timing.
I thought it was about
Kelly
money.
A little bit of both.
But truly, it is about timing. And my day job is I do political campaign management. And Kelly Ciarto, who is a sitting city council member for the city of Marietta, decided to run for assembly. And I was his campaign manager. And he won the primary and had to go on to the general. And then we were thinking, who could take his spot that is like-minded about the community and about policies?
And who could that
be? Even though I said that I would, and even though I said I would never, and I even said this publicly, I am never going to run for office. Well, I found myself talking to myself saying, okay, this is all about timing. You understand pretty much about government, how it works.
Yep.
You understand the role of a council person. You've been serving the community already for decades. This is just a different capacity.
So, Lori, there's a message there. Never say never.
Right.
Say it's a possibility, absolutely. I guess.
Yes. Never say
it
never.
It is. And that's very, very true. And I tell people, you know, from my experience, never, ever say never. And people ask me all the time, are you going to run for higher office? And I tell them, absolutely not. Listen, at my age, I'm too old to run for higher office at this point. I just want to serve Marietta.
That's not true. You are not too old to run for anything. So let me just start there.
Yeah, I think you need to start saying it's a possibility.
It's a possibility. But I'm actually thinking if she says never, then that's a high probability she will.
That's right. Because that's, up to this point, that's worked. I'm going to kind of redirect a little bit and say, ask you, you know, you ran different campaigns. You worked with your brother on his campaign. I know you did Mike Hestrin's campaign and several others. And how would you say it's different either running a campaign for a female candidate and or what you experienced as a woman running for office? And how is it different from those campaigns that you were running for the other candidates?
For men.
Yes.
Oh, wow. So I'm thinking I have run 3 female campaigns. And it's not really whether it's a female or it's a male. I would definitely have to say it's a personality. For example, one of my candidates was an attorney. And he truly was a very, very difficult candidate. He's extremely smart. And while, you know, my candidates always question, well, are you having me do this? Why am I not doing it this way?
Always. You have the same thing.
I can articulate my stance. But this particular candidate, I honestly felt defeated with him. Because no matter what I suggested, he's a trial attorney. And he treated me like I was in court. And that was really, really hard to navigate. And I started to doubt myself. But not only did he win, but this man sent me within 24 hours the most beautiful thank you that I've ever received. So here I was doubting myself because I felt like I was, you know, jury on trial.
Right.
And yet he so respected, you know, my role in his campaign, and recently has contacted me to say, I'm thinking about running for higher office and I want you to be my campaign manager.
That's awesome.
While again, I felt a little defeated, obviously he was impressed by my role in his campaign and is looking to further his political career. So you never, ever know. So as far as female versus male, it really just depends on the candidate's personality. There was another candidate. He was a male who was very, very green, and he really was very hard to navigate. He didn't want to do anything.
Oh, yeah.
At one point, I was like, I told my team, this guy is not going to win. He's so arrogant, and he's challenging the system. And when you're running, you want to have solutions to the issues and not just keep a negative attitude about just crucifying every little thing. Well, in the middle of his campaign, the light switch went on in his brain. He realized, wow, I'm definitely taking the wrong approach if I want to get elected. He ended up getting elected. We became very, very close friends, and he did a phenomenal job in the 8 years that he served his city.
So I have a question for you.
Yes.
On that. What made that light bulb go off?
What was the aha moment?
Yeah. And what caused it?
You know, this was over 8 years ago. I really honestly don't remember, but whatever it was, I may have told him he was going to lose. I have no problem telling a candidate, you know what, dude, you're going to lose. I did have a female candidate who was the smartest female in a man's world in development. And she had every endorsement. She raised all the money, but I could not get her to walk precincts. And if you don't walk precincts, you are not going to win your election.
No, you're not.
And she thought by her endorsements and her knowledge that it was a shoo-in. And I basically said, yeah, you're not going to win. And she said, yeah, watch me. Well, she did not win. So that's a struggle. And again, that has nothing to do whether you're female or male. That's just her attitude towards the campaign,
right.
and she lost. And sadly, it was a very, very close number from a gentleman who only lived in the community for 4 years, and she had lived in her community for over 20 years. So a brand new candidate, but he walked 10,000 homes.
Yeah, you cannot assume. I mean, everybody is busy. We are, and you are in the political world day in and day out, and so we kind of know the ins and outs. However, typical residents of a community don't necessarily pay attention to local politics unless that politician or candidate is right there talking to them, bringing the issues forward, and having that one-on-one conversation. So you are correct. You cannot make the assumption that everybody's paying attention to your endorsements, your mailers, or anything. You got to get right out there and be in the conversation with them directly.
So, Lori, I have a question for you. It's one thing to run the campaign, as we know, and you and I both know it's different to be the candidate.
Yes, ma'am.
So what was your experience like being the candidate and having to take your own advice?
You know, Kelly Ciarto and I talked about that, and I struggled. I have to be honest with you. I couldn't separate the two. I tried really, really hard, but you got to keep the emotion out of when you are consulting and managing. And it was very hard for me to navigate. So while Kelly was running for assembly and I'm running for his seat, I would call him and I struggled. And he's like, Lori, you got to bring on a campaign manager. You cannot manage yourself.
Own campaign, yeah.
And so he kind of became my pseudo campaign manager, but for the most part, walking precincts, you know, putting your signs out, doing your direct mail, that was, I could do that, but giving my own self advice on situations that came my way, that was very, very difficult. And it was hard for me to manage. So if I were to run for higher office, which, like I said, I don't have any plans.
I guess that's when you run for higher office.
But if I were, I would definitely hire a campaign manager to manage me. It would set me up to fail to do it again. So it was difficult.
Smart girl.
Yeah, you do need somebody that is going to really give you the true story and go beyond the fluff and go beyond the accolades and go, okay, this is where we are and this is what we need to do.
Yeah. Correct. Yes.
And even if you don't want to listen.
So what's...
And even if you don't want to listen.
Exactly. Especially when you don't want to listen. What surprises or aha moments did you encounter during your campaign?
Well, as both of you know, that I'm very outspoken and I'm very passionate about the issues that are very, very important to me. And there were two issues in the year and a half that touched my heart. And the first one was our governor. Our governor during the pandemic selected businesses that he felt were essential. And it was a few select businesses. I brought forward a resolution and my fellow colleagues voted on it, except for one colleague challenged me for about an hour. And that was that if you follow all public safety protocols, just like these big box businesses, then all businesses in Marietta is considered essential. If you don't follow public safety protocol, then your business cannot open up.
Right.
And I had a fellow colleague that challenged me for an hour. And one of the things that she challenged me on with this resolution is Keller Road. We have an expansion for Keller Road to have access to our hospitals that we don't have now. Mm-hmm. And we were short about $4.9 million to fulfill that project. And she challenged that resolution because she was afraid if we passed that resolution that the governor would punish us and not help us with that grant funding for Keller Road. Well, while I articulated my stance is if we find out, the city of Marietta finds out that the governor purposely is punishing the city of Marietta, then we're going to sue the governor. And my position was that we needed to protect our businesses, our small businesses that put their heart and their soul and their own money and what it costs to have your doors open and for them not to be open because the governor again made a stance of who's going to be essential and who's not. I still stood my ground. And it's funny that this fellow colleague fought me on it, but then voted for it in the end. So I would have had far more respect for her if she had voted no because of her stance. And then secondly, was the 13 service members that were killed in Afghanistan. And I recommended that the city of Marietta do a tribute to these 13 fallen soldiers. And while everybody got up and spoke and, you know, was very generic, not me. I got up there. I held our president accountable for the demise of those 13 service people. There was no plan of action put in place on how to deal with bringing back our military from Afghanistan. And those 13 soldiers should have never, ever died. And when I held him accountable, I got two standing ovations from 1,000 people in the audience. I thought my city manager was going to have a heart attack, but I did. And I held our president accountable. And my job is, as an elected official, besides setting policies, is to hold other electeds accountable. Because if we don't, I don't want to ever see something like that repeated again. And so those are two major issues that I was very outspoken for. And that was for our military. And that was also for our businesses.
Well, you can definitely hear the passion in your voice about what you do and how you are taking care of your community. It's nice to see that you're so passionate about it and so concerned about our community.
Well, and one of the key takeaways I heard besides the passion, Lori, was that you can have a discussion at the dais, be on opposite sides. And although you may have had more respect if this individual had voted no, I had more respect thinking that you changed their mind.
Right.
So, you know, there's
I like that.
There's a way to have political dialogue, which isn't venomous or anything else. So, and I think we've lost our way on that. So I applaud you for that effort. Good job.
Absolutely. As we start to wrap this up, I think one of the biggest questions I have is, what advice would you give to a woman that is considering going into politics?
Well, I would always encourage for more women to get into politics, whether it's school board, water board, city council, assembly, and they need to get involved. If you want to run for water board or city council or school board, you need to go to their respective meetings. You need to understand the issues. And then you got to hire a good consultant.
So there you go.
That's my advice.
Awesome. Well, thank you again for coming out and talking with us today. We always love chatting with you. It's such a pleasure.
And continue to
thank
do good
so
work,
much.
Lori. Thank
yes.
you. We're very
continue
proud of
good,
you.
Good ladies. Work in the world. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye. For more information, visit watermarkassociates.com. That's Watermark Associates, all spelled out, /podcast. You'll find today's resources on there, and you'll have the opportunity to give us your comments or suggestions for future episodes. We look forward to you tuning in for the next time, and hopefully we'll hear what you have to say.